Gentlemen, thanks for coming on a fast day. Not easy. Hopefully we get some extra schar for Talmud Torah as we enter the new year.
The phone call. Let's see how people.
I don't know what it is.
I'm sorry, the owner of the phone is not here. In the office. Somebody will come and claim it.
Whose stuff is this?
That's,
I don't know. So I'm sure that's his phone. I'm sure it's the person whose phone is belonging to his
phone. Okay, so I'm here. I left it in the office, they'll know who it belongs to.
It's a shame.
Okay. So, Bosa, we're going to look at the sugya of Ribui Anovim. There are too many berries on the Hadas. The Mishnah Paskin said if there are too many berries on the Hadas, then it's possible. But you could just simply remove the berries before Yantif. Okay then? But when I say before Yantif, it has to be before Yantif. It can't be on Yantif. That's called, in the language of the Mishnah, which you'll see here at the end of Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, the Mishnah on the bottom, Eim Mematim B'Yantif. So we're not allowed to remove the berries on Yantif. Now let's fast forward to the Gemara. Adaf Lamed Gimel, Lamed Beis. The Gemara is medayik from the language of the Mishnah that you're not allowed to be memayit biyontif, and the reason for that is because of mitake mona. And tikkun mona is a tolda of meleches makah bepatish. So basically, what happens is when you have a ribui anovim, the hadas is posel. And to be machshir the hadas is a violation of tikkun mona, and that's the subject here, the sugya on daf lamed gimel amud beis. Now there are two parts to the sugya. We're going to start with the second part, and then hopefully, if we have time today, we'll move backwards, if you will, to the first part of the sugya. The second part of the sugya is the following. Let's see if we could all find the place. Tana Rabbanan. Now, if you're looking at the, maybe we'll start with the lower Mishnah on the page, on the bottom of the page, and you count up about, I'd say, 12 lines, maybe 13 lines up. The first word in the line is Venira. And it says, Tana Rabbanan Ein Mematim Biyontif. Okay, do we have that? If you have a place, just raise your hand, so I know everybody has the place. Yonatan, you got it. Okay? So the Braisa quotes another opinion, and that's Rabbi Eliezer Reb Shimon. Now, please emphasize that this is the son of Rabbi Shimon. And they said in his name, Amru Mematin, that you're allowed to take out the berries on Yontif. So the Gemara immediately asks, V'hakam mitakein mana, the Yontif. One of the malachas of Yontif is tikkun mana, and that's a told of makah bepatish. That's also on Yontif, just like it's also on Shabbos. So how could Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon say that you're allowed to be mamayit on Yontif? Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi answers, kigon shalikton lachila, that his purpose was not to be machshir the hadas. For whatever reason, he's not interested in hadas. Maybe he has another one, I don't know. But his interest is removing the berries lachila. The Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, Sobele Kavua, he stands on the shoulders of his father, Diomar, and his father holds Dovashen Miskabin Mutter. Again, whenever you see Dovashen Miskabin Mutter, you could plug in the next line in the Gemara without even looking. And what's that? Psikresha. Vabai Varova, Diamri Chavai, Mod Rabbi Shimon, Psikresha Velo Yomus. We know for a fact that as a result of the miut anovim of removing these berries, he's going to be machshir the hadas and violate tikkun mana. And Rabbi Shimon only holds Dovr Sheni Miskaven in a case where we don't have a Psik Reish. He's carrying the bench. Maybe he'll make Charitza, maybe he won't make Charitza. But if it's definite, it's certain, it's predictable, then Rabbi Shimon is Moda. So Gemara answers, Hachav Mayaskinon De Isle Hoshana Achriti. He has another Hoshana. So he has one in his back pocket. He has another possibility. He doesn't have to rely on this Hoshana. And that somehow resolves the problem of how Rabbi Eliezer Rav Shimon could be Matir based on the teaching of his father of Dovr Sheni Miskaven, even though it's a Psik Reish. So before we see Rashi, I mean, our focus, the focus of our attention today is going to be on Rashi, and then we want to see if Tosfos comes up with the same idea as Rashi. But before we see Rashi, let's just raise the following question. The Gemara says, Isle Hoshana Achriti. He has another Hoshana. Is the Gemara saying, therefore it's not a Psik Reisha? Is the Gemara saying, therefore it's not a Malacha of Matakin Mona? What exactly is the Gemara saying? It doesn't seem offhand that the fact that he has another Hoshana stashed in his closet or in his refrigerator, that therefore it's not a Psik Reisha. As far as this Hadas is concerned, when he takes off the Anovim, he's definitely with Psik Reisha, he's definitely being Machsha the Hoshana, the Hadas. The only question you can have is whether or not what? Whether he'll use it, whether he'll benefit from this Hoshana, correct? Because he has another Hoshana. He may put, you know, after he takes out the Novim, he may have two Hoshanas in front of him, and he, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, there's a 50% chance that he'll take this one, there's a 50% chance that he'll take the other one. There's extra Gemara Sukkah if you want, there are two or three of them. But again, as far as the status of the Hoshana is concerned, this is a Psik Reisha, is it not? Again, you could question whether he'll use this Hoshana. That's not definite by far, because he has another Hoshana. He doesn't need this one. But as far as Psik Reisha is concerned, for Melecha Es Tikkun Mana, it would seem that the Gemara didn't answer the question over here. Meaning, what do you gain in terms of Psik Reisha by telling me that he has another Hoshana? Is that going to in any way reduce the Psik Reisha element here?
Is this only in the case that he wants the berries?
Correct. He wants the berries. You'll ask me, why does he want the berries? He's hungry. He likes berries. Again, I would have offered him something better, but he wants berries. Okay? But ask me a different question. Does he want the Hoshana? And the answer is, the Gemara says he doesn't have any interest in the Hoshana. Why? Because he has Islay Hoshana Achriti. Okay, but let's get back to Tikkun Mana. You know, as far as the Mana is concerned, it's still a Psik Reisha. Meaning, you could always say to me, like, Phil, it's a Dovr Sheni Miskaven. He's not interested in the Hoshana. He has no interest in the Hoshana. He has another one. But that doesn't change Psik Reisha. Moder of Shin Psik Reisha. The Gemara is still stuck in its original question here. So let's look at Rashi. I think maybe Rashi is bothered by this question. I'm not sure. So we're going to take a look at the third line of the wide lines in Rashi. So Rashi says, "V'lo tzarech lahai." Now, when you hear the words "lo tzarech lahai," what does that sound like? Are we somehow back to square one, and it's the Dovr Sheni Miskaven? What does that sound like? Lo tzarech lahai. Well, I don't know about Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa, Mitch. We'll hold on to Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa. If I get a chance, I'll come back to that. But so far, the Gemara hasn't quoted Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa. Tosfos has a shita that if you don't need the malacha, it becomes a malacha and it's richa l'gufa. But Rashi, as you'll soon see, I mean, I only stopped at the beginning of Rashi because I didn't anticipate Mitch's question. But Rashi, from beginning to end, is operating with Dovah Shein Miskavet. He's not operating with Malach Shein Tzvich L'Gufa. There is a sheet of Tosis that it's Malach Shein Tzvich L'Gufa. But Rashi is operating within Dovah Shein Miskavet, as we'll see, Behem Sheikh HaDvar. But I just wanted to say the following. We asked the following question. Is the Gemara answering that this is not a problem at all on Yontif, or is the Gemara back with Dovah Shein Miskavet, and somehow we're going to have to neutralize the issue of Psik Resha? Are we operating within Dovah Shein Miskavet, or are we operating with some new halacha, some different halacha from the outside? The Gemara is coming in from outside with another halacha. What does it sound like when Rashi says Velo Tzarech Lahai? John, what would you say? He doesn't need it. What does that sound like? Dovah Shein Miskavet, no?
Yeah.
It sounds like he's operating with Dovah Shein Miskavet. Again, I still haven't addressed the main question. What happened to Psik Resha? Then, look at the next few words of Rashi. Please underline these words. He says, Hilkach, since he might need it, and you and I would have said, therefore he's not Miskavet, but Rashi says something totally different. Rashi says, Hilkach, Ein kan tikun kli. But both sides, what is Rashi saying now?
He's not going to use it for a
Shabbat. What does that mean, Ein kan tikun kli? It substitute another word for tikun kli. Ein kan malacha. Ein kan malacha, right? Ein kan tikun kli. Right, the malacha is called tikun kli. Tikun kli is actually a tolda of makom v'pasuk. But we're not interested in novice and toldas now. I'm just saying, Rashi's saying, Ein kan tikun kli. In other words, Rashi seems to assume that tikun kli is only applicable if he's going to use the Hoshana, but he has another Hoshana, so that's not called Tikkun Kli. Does that make any sense? I don't know if it makes any sense. Again, at this point, I don't know what makes any sense. It's a fast day, so it's a little. But I'm just saying, in terms of the mathematics of Rashi, I'm not operating on the level of Svara, but the words of Rashi indicate that there's no Malacha. Which means that we don't have to solve the problem of what? Of Psik Resha. Why don't we have to solve the problem of Psik Resha? Psik Resha is only a problem if you're operating within the framework of what? Of Dovah Shein Miskavet. Rashi's saying, this is not a problem of Dovah Shein Miskavet. If you have a malacha, you can talk to me about whether you're miskavet to the malacha, you're not miskavet, whether it's a Psik Resha, whether it's not a Psik Resha. Rashi's throwing a curveball at us. From left field, he's throwing something completely, totally different. The Gemara never resolves the problem of Psik Resha. But the Gemara has no need to solve the problem of Psik Resha. Because the Gemara is redefining what? Can I get some sort of response? Tikkun Mana. The Gemara is redefining Tikkun Mana. We thought Nahava meaning there's a violation of Tikkun Mana. And Rashi says, no, there's no Tikkun Mana. And why is there no Tikkun Mana? Because he doesn't need the Hoshana. If he doesn't need the Hoshana, that's not called Tikkun Mana. The Lo Tzricha Leilach Shure, he doesn't need to be Mashe the Hadas by removing the Anovim. Period. Now we have a rule called quit while you're ahead. If Rashi would have stopped here, I would have said, Baruch Hashem, I understand Rashi's general direction, some of the details I still have to fill in, why it's not Tikkun Mana, why the Gemara think it was Tikkun Mana, now he doesn't need it, and therefore it's not Tikkun Mana, Tikkun Mana only applies if you need it, and we could have a lot of fun with that. But then look at the next line in Rashi. Rashi says, V'lo domi hashtal p'sik resha. Where's Rashi going back to? Dovah Shein Miskavet. Rabosa, again, this is my original question. What does the Gemara mean when it says Israel Shata Achrini? Does it mean A or B? Does it mean that it's therefore it's a Dovah Shein Miskavet, and somehow we're gonna undermine the principle or the application of the principle here in this case of Psik Resha? Well, we're not working with Dovah Shein Miskavet. This is a whole new ball game. We're dealing with what? With Tikkun Mana and whether it's a malacha or not. And the Gemara is saying that Islay al Shata Achrita, therefore it's not a malacha. So Rashi says explicitly, Ein kan Tikkun Kli, Velo Tzarech Leilach Shure. And then Rashi says, Velo Dami Hashta Lipsik Resha. So Rashi swings back to Dovah Shein Miskavet. To Hassam, where is Psik Resha getting chops off the head of the chicken? Ika Netilas Neshama Mimanafsha. In other words, whether he needs the animal dead or he doesn't need the animal dead. Let's say he wants the animal a lot, right? But he's definitely killing the animal. You can't chop off its head and it survive, and therefore that makes it tikkun mana. Or in the case of Netilas Neshama, that makes it Netilas Neshama. Okay, but here he's being Machshav Adas. Lechora again, he may not need it, but he's definitely being Machshav Adas. So Rashi says, Hacha Leka Tikkun Kli. Okay, so again, you know, Rashi's, this is what you call Posef Al Shtei HaSeifim. You know, Rashi is operating on two different levels. You know, when you think you finally understand Rashi, And maybe he's coming back to Psik Resha, and it's not a Psik Resha, Lo Domi Hashtel a Psik Resha, and it's a Domi Shana Miskavin, it's not like the case of cutting off the head of a chicken. Hacha Leka Tikkun Kli. He goes back to his original position, there's no Tikkun Kli. Aval Ilo Havi Achriti, if he did not have another Adas, is then Mashvi Leimon. That would mean tikkun kli. Dotzarech lahachi. So again, Rabbo say, if I could cut out, again, this I don't take me literally on this, but if I could cut out the middle part of Rashi and just take the Resha and the Sefer Rashi, I would tell you I understand what Rashi's saying. Tikkun mana requires tzarech le. If you don't need it, that's not called tikkun. Ah, you might ask, but somebody else on the face of the earth needs it. I don't know. Rashi's saying, if you don't need it, it's not called tikkun mana. So that's fine. But in the middle, Rashi injects the lo domi lipsik resha, which means he's again, you know, resurrecting the whole issue of Dovah Shein HaMiskavin here. And he says, well, it's not a psik resha, therefore it's a Dovah Shein HaMiskavin. So he says, if he didn't have another Oshana, then what? Then it would be Osir. Why would it be Osir if he didn't have another Oshana? Because the tikkun mana, because mashvilei mana. But then he says, v'afagav v'lo miskavein, but you'll tell me, all right, he was metaki mana, but he didn't have kavana to be metaki mana, he's only interested in eating the berries. Is Rashi says, lachi osa davi psik reish v'lo yomus. So again, if he has only one hashana, then Rashi says it's osa midin, psik reish midin, even though he's not miskavein, there is tikkun mana. But if he has another hashana, Rashi says that's not called a psik resha. But why did Rashi have to tell me it's not called a psik resha? Rashi could have just simply said, as he says over and over again, that it's not a tikkun mana because he doesn't need it lakshure. In other words, Rashi seems to say that whether or not removing the berries is tikkun mana or not, that hinges on whether he needs this oshana or he doesn't need the oshana. So in the Hama meeting, we thought that Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon was matir, even if he needs the Oshana. He needs the Oshana. And yet he was Makar. So the Gemara says, how could that possibly be? You'll tell me he doesn't need the Oshana. Let's say he doesn't have another Oshana, right? But he's interested in removing the berries. So the Gemara says that you can't tell me that since he's interested in removing the berries, therefore we could be Makar because of Rav Shimon's Dovah Shein HaMiskavin. That's impossible because it's a psik resha. So now the Gemara comes along and says, no, it's not similar to a psik resha. Why isn't it similar to a psik resha? Because the case is he has another Hoshana. If he has another Hoshana, that's not called psik resha. Well, why do Rashi have to bother with that? Dalmi hafi. Rashi could have just said, typically, mishum, there's no tikkun mana. And Rashi twice says that there's no tikkun mana. So I just want to share with you, first and foremost, the Aruch HaNer. I'm not sure if I could convince you that the Aruch HaNer is correct, because I'm not convinced myself, even though I'm a gigantic fan of the Aruch HaNer. The Aruch HaNer wants to claim that there's a tremendous chiddush here in this Rashi about Tikkun Mana. And he wants to say that tikkun mana depends upon whether or not he's going to actually use the Hoshana. In other words, when he removes the berries, at this point in time, we don't know whether this Tikkun Mana or not. It's to be determined. It sounds like the, although he doesn't use this term, it sounds like the Ochlan Ner is operating with Lemafreya. That if at the end of the day he uses this Hoshana, then we're going to say Gloy Milsa Lemafreya, that he was Metakin Mana. So in other words, what we're going to have to read into this Rashi, according to the Aruch HaNer, first and foremost, and there's another point that we have to read into Rashi, you have to read a lot into this Rashi, according to the Aruch HaNer, but the first point we have to read into Rashi is that when the Gemara says, Islei Oshat Achrita, the Gemara is already taking a stand on which Hoshana he actually uses at the end. Right? We'll call him A, we'll call it what's it called in when you have a criminal case? There's each piece of evidence is, what do they call it? Something, item A, item B. What's it called? What's the word for it? Okay, anyway. So we'll call it
Exhibit A.
Exhibit, excellent. That's the word, Lenny. Thanks. Oh, I needed that word. Exhibit A and Exhibit B. All right. So Exhibit A is the Hoshana that he has in his closet. Exhibit B is the Hoshana that's full of berries. And on Yontif, he plucks the berries. And why does he pluck the berries? He wants to eat it. Or comes along the Aruch HaNer and says, oh, the Gemara doesn't mean simply that he has Exhibit A locked up in his closet, but that at the end of the day, when it came to the mitzvah of Lekachem Lechem, he used Exhibit A. He did not use Exhibit B. Where do you see that in Rashi? Because Rashi says, V'lo tzarech lahai. So the Aruch HaNer interprets it this, Lo Tzarech Lahai means that since he used Exhibit A, he never used Exhibit B, he doesn't need Exhibit B.
That's another one.
What?
That's another one.
Yeah, Exhibit A is the one that was Kosher Mizman, he has it locked up in his closet, he takes it out of his closet, and that's the one he uses. So he never actually used it. And here's the Aruch HaNer drops a bomb, he says the following, very big, big finish, that whether or not this tikkun mana here depends upon whether he uses it. And Islei Oshat Achrita means he never used it. Meaning the one that he fixed up and he removed the berries, he never used it. How do you fit that into Rashi? Rashi says, Lo Tzarech Lahai. Lo Tzarech Lahai means at the end of the day. It doesn't mean Lo Tzarech Lahai at the moment in which he took out the berries. Because according to the Aruch HaNer, if at the end, after taking out the berries, he uses Exhibit B, the one from which he removed the berries, then he's chayav. There's a conditional heter here, according to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Eliezer is allowing him to remove the berries on one condition. We're warning you. Don't you dare consider using that hadas. Is therefore ein kan hilkoch, ein kan tikkun kli. That's not called tikkun kli because he never used it. This would have unbelievable repercussions if you fix up something and you never use it, according to the Aruch HaNer, Pshat and Rashi, that's not called Tikkun Mana. In other words, the jury is out, everything is suspended, we don't know whether that action qualifies and constitutes Tikkun Mana. We're going to determine that later on. If he uses it, then it was Metakin Mana. If he doesn't use it, it's not Metakin Mana. That's a pella of a chiddush.
You don't have to go that far. You can just say that the intention is what matters. That's not called Tikkun Mana if you don't intend to use it. So that circumvents the problem with that.
Well, that's not the way the Aruch HaNer.
You're offering another pshat.
Okay, that's good. Wait. So again, I'm just trying to sort this out according to a certain order. So again, I just want to present to you the Aruch HaNer's approach, and I want to see if we can read this into Rashi. So again, the Aruch HaNer says that whether that Tikkun Mana is going to be determined when. At the end of the day. I don't mean that literally, but figuratively, at the end of the day. Does he use it? Does he not use it? And Eino Tzarech Lahai means he never used it. He fixed it and he never used it. What do I mean by fix it? He was machshir it, but he never used it. And that's not called Tikkun Mana. Why? Delo Tzricha Lei Lachshir it. Because now we see very carefully, very clearly, that he didn't need to be machshir it. If he didn't be machshir it, Velo Dami. And then now we have to read another thing into the Rashi. Velo dami lipsik resha. You might say that now it's a psik resha, meaning Rashi is now entertaining the possibility that okay, he didn't use the Hoshana at the end of the day, but still it's a psik resha, meaning he definitely what? He definitely was machshir the Hoshana. He says, no, when do we apply the principle of psik resha? Hasam, Iker Netils Neshama, Mimanafshav. No matter what his need is, it's irrelevant. So even though he didn't need the animal to die, but he killed the animal, that's called psik resha. V'hachal leka tikun kli. And here there's no tikun kli. Why is there no tikun kli? Because he never used it. But if he would have had no choice but to use it, because he doesn't. So God, the Gemara is just using this hechetimta as to the fact that he has another to prove whether or not he used it. You know, he took the berries off. Did he use it for the mitzvah? So Gemara says Islay Oshat Achrin. He didn't use it. That's what the Gemara means. If he doesn't have another option because he only owns one hadas and Nebuch this hadas has too many berries on it, then you could bet your bottom dollar that he used it. And if he used it, then he's violating the tikkun kli. So why does Rashi introduce psik resha now, according to the Aruch Haner? Again, according to the Aruch Haner, we're not operating with Davar Sheni Miskaven and psik resha. We're operating with tikkun mana. Is it tikkun mana? Is it not tikkun mana? And I'm excited about the Aruch Haner because in two places in this one Rashi mentions that there's no tikkun mana. But why then does Rashi tell you, well, it's not psik resha, don't quote to me the halacha of psik resha, like cutting off.
You only see it after the fact.
But look at Rashi. Rashi quotes netilas neshama. Where do we find those words, netilas neshama? Did Rashi invent that phrase? It's a Mishnah Klal Gadol. Here, if you could do me a favor. Lenny, you don't mind if I ask you for a favor, do you? You're a very pleasant fellow. Open up to the Mishnah in Klal Gadol. It's on Ayin Gimel. And I think at the end of that Mishnah, you'll find the Tils Neshama. If not, then we'll have to turn to Daf Ayin Hey. So we'll see. Because on Daf Ayin Hey, the Gemara says that Shochet is Chayav Mishum Netils Neshama. So I'm not sure if Netils Neshama is the Av or it's the Tolda. So, but it's probably the Av, because the Gemara says that Shochet is Chayav Mishum Netils Neshama. So it must be Netils Neshama is the Av. What does it say Netils Neshama there?
Not in the Mishnah.
No, it has Shochet, right?
Pardon?
What does it say? Ashochto?
Ashochto.
Ashochto. Okay. So the Gemara says on Daf Ayin Hey that Shchita, if you sheft an animal, you chayav for Netils Neshama. Netils Neshama is the Av Malacha. Why does Rashi quote Netils Neshama here, according to the Aruch Haner? Again, it's my own. Yeah, we're trying to put this all together. The Aruch Haner is very short-winded. He doesn't tell us much. Because Rashi wants to quote the name of the Malacha, and he's going to tell you the following: that you'll ask me, wait a minute, in Netils Neshama, if there's a psik resha, he's not interested in Netils Neshama. He's not trying to kill the chicken. He needs the head of the chicken for whatever reason. I mean, the Gemara has a strange reason why he needs the head of the chicken.
Yeah.
Oh, but in Netils Neshama, psik resha is awesome. So why is that? So what's Rashi's question now? The paradigm of psik resha, it means even though he's not miskaven, he has no need and no interest in killing the animal, he's chayav. So what's Rashi asking now? Let's apply that same yardstick to which malacha, Rabosai? To makom patish, to removing the berries. That's also malacha. That's called makom patish. It's on the list. Maishno netils neshama, where we're saying he's chayav even though he's not interested at all in netils neshama. And that's true even according to Rav Shimon, as Abai Varova pointed out, Moder Rav Shimon Sekresha. Why not apply the same thing in the case of tikkun mana? And what's Rashi's answer? Because tikkun mana is suspended in midair. What do I mean it's suspended in midair? It depends. It's going to be determined. To be determined. Is there such a thing? TBD. Okay? I'm going to write that on the book because I'm going to forget. TBD. TBD. How many malachas on the list of 39 fit this category? Only one. And that's why Rashi uses Netilas Neshama as the paradigm of 38 out of 39 malachas, where the malacha is set in stone from the get-go, and as though to be determined. There's no X factor that's undetermined. The only exception to that rule is going to be what? Maka v'patish. Maka v'patish, says Rashi, all depends upon whether you need it or you don't need it. So it's very interesting because Maka v'patish is a malacha that really doesn't start from scratch, if you know what I mean. You know, when you plant a seed, you plant a seed. You know, there's nothing there beforehand. You know, and if you harvest something, so you harvested something. You know, it was mechuber, now it's tolosh. Every single malacha is very creative. But Maka v'patish is a different kind of malacha. Maka v'patish means it's basically okay. You know, but you want to sharpen it up, right? What did they do at the end of the... At the end of Malacha, he gave one more bang on the anvil, you know, with the anvil, and he sharpened it up. That's called Maka v'patish. So Rashi wants to know what happens if you improve something but you never use it. So that's not called improving it. That improving it is to be determined by whether you use it or not. That's the Aruch HaNer. Again, it bothers my mind because why should Maka v'patish be different than all the other Malachas? Nitils Neshama, even if I don't need the Nitils Neshama, but if it's a foregone conclusion, I chop off the head of the chicken, it's going to die. Is Rashi says, you chai for Nitils Neshama, even though you don't need the Nitils Neshama at all. So here I know that I'm being mashed in the Adas, I don't need it, because I have another one. And in fact, I don't use it. That's how the Aruch HaNer learns Rashi. He says, the Aruch HaNer, that's not called the Malachas Maka v'patish. Why not? Why should Maka v'patish be different than every other Malach? We never had this concept of to be determined, you know. Either it's a malach or it's not a malach. Where do we find the malach? Again, sometimes physically you have to see that the malach actually takes place. You follow what I mean? Like in Zriya, you might need what's called hashrasha. But again, that's a whole different thing. There, you need the hashrasha to make sure that the Zriya was a meaningful Zriya. Right? Let's say you shoot water on a plant, but the water never reaches the plant. So that's to be determined. So when I open the hose, it has to be determined. But then that's a whole different type of to be determined. There we have to see where the malacha is going to take place. Here the tikkun matar definitely took place. No, says the Aruch HaNer, there's no tikkun matar because he never used it. And I'm tempted to think, Rabosa, again, you know, we'll meet the Aruch HaNer, we'll ask him if this is what he meant. He may laugh at me. But I think what the Aruch HaNer has in mind is not tikkun mana per se as a malacha, but tikkun mana al pidin. Meaning, when I don't change I don't improve the object in the physical world, I improve it in the halachic world. You know, because as I told you many times, if you would sell two adasim, one has berries on it and one doesn't have berries on it. I'm talking before you. So which one are you going to pay more for? The one with the berries or the one without the berries? I'm going to pay more for the one with the berries because the berries are worth more than the tircha that it takes me the 5 minutes to remove the berries. So I'll buy it with berries. So there's no physical improvement of this hadas simply because I remove the berries. Removing the berries makes the hadas worth less on the market. But the answer is it's worth more alpi din because now it's kosher l'mitzvasa. So the Aruch HaNer is saying that if the whole issue of kashal mitzvaso, that depends upon whether you use it for the mitzvah. If you never use it for the mitzvah, so the fact that in an abstract world, you know, the whole tikkun mani is in the abstract mind. It's a phenomenological experience. There's nothing in reality here. Because on the contrary, you know, I'd rather have hadas with hanovim than without hanovim. But the answer is that in the reality of mitzvahs, that makes it into a tikkun mana. So here's where the Aruch HaNer says, oh, the tikkun mana depends on the mitzvah. Let's see that you use it. Because then we have a practical, concrete tikkun mana here. The tikkun mana expresses itself in the fact that you use it for the mitzvah. So, Rabosa, I wanted to show you that there's a Tosus in Ksubis that might possibly support the Aruch HaNer. I'm not sure. This is the famous sugya on Daf Zayin called Misuchraya Dinazaisa. Are you all familiar with this sugya? Should I go over it just one more time? On Daf Vav, I'm sorry. Yeah? Should we go over it just very quickly one more time? Daf Vav and Alfig Subis. You have a vat of wine. That's where they store the wine. Okay, now, in order to remove the wine, there's a spout, and you have to open the spout and close the spout. And how did they do so in this particular scenario? Misuchraya is a matlit, Rashi says. It's a cloth. So he uses a cloth to plug up the hole, and then he removes the cloth, and then the yayin comes out. So the Gemara says that when you remove this cloth, Rashi identifies as bloy begadim, meaning it's worn out begadim, because once you soak it with wine, you probably don't want to use it anymore. Get saturated with wine, and wine has a very strong smell and color and so forth. So the Gemara says that you're going to violate the isus chita, because the yayin is going to come out when you push in this cloth into a very small opening. So the Gemara says that luchora should be muta. Why? What's his interest? Is he interested in schita? Is he interested in squeezing out those few drops of wine that are saturated in the beged? Obviously not. What's he interested in, Rabosai? In opening up the wine barrel in order to get the wine out. So the Gemara says luchora should depend upon Rab Shimon and Rab Yehuda. We pass like Rab Shimon, and therefore it's a davar sheinu miskaven. So the Gemara says, by he, in the case of Misuchraya d'nezaisa, is afilu Reb Shimon mode. Even Reb Shimon will agree. Again, whenever you see Reb Shimon, you know what's coming around the bend, as I told you before, namely what? You said it, psikration. The mode abaye v'rova, the abaye v'rova, the amitra, abaye mode Reb Shimon, the psikratia, v'lo yamus. So here, in this case, he knows for sure that he's going to remove some of the yayin from the big bloib garden, this misukhrai. That's called speleches schita. And therefore, it's usher, even though he has no interest in schita. Okay then? That's what the Gemara says over here. Tosfos says that this is a problem. Why? Because we have the Shitas Ha'aruch. So the Shitas Ha'aruch is that psikration lo nichale is mutter. And l'chora here it's lo nichale. He has no interest in removing the yayin from the bloy begadim. So what kind of interest does he have in this schita? He only wants to open up the barrel. And yet the Gemara seems to assume that there's a problem of psikratia. According to the Shita Sa'aruch, in a case of psikratia lo nichale, there's no problem of the aruch. But now, Tosa says, although this sugyan ksuba seems to be problematic according to the Aruch, I have another sugyan shas which would support the Aruch. So what sugyan shas does Tosa choose? You guessed it, our sugyan mesechta sukkah. Maisi raya milulav ha-gozul, taflamet gimol mid-beis, dika amra rablozer rab shimin mematin anovin biyontif. Pirush, Anve Hadas. So Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is matir. Upar the Gemara asks for a sakin mana. Isn't he violating tikkun mana? Umukim le b'miskavim la'achila v'sara lekavua. Upar of our mother Rabbi Shimon b'psikreisha. Umeshani de'lotzricha. Excuse me, lotzricha de'isle hoshana achrita. So this Tosa says is going to support the Shita Sa'aruch about Psikresha to Lo Nichale. Allah says Tosa came to Lo Nichale, Lo Chai Shinon. Right? Lo Chai Shinon. Came into Lo Nichale, Lo Chai Shinon. Okay, I stopped in the middle of the sentence here, but Lo Chai Shinon. So right now I would tell you that if this is a riot to the Shita Sa'aruch, what does it mean, lo chai shinon? Why is there no problem of of tikkun mana when he removes the berries, what happened to psik reish? Where he asked about psik reish, where it says islay oshat achrita. So now Tosa wants to prove that lo nichale. Whose sheet is that lo nichale?
No,
the Arab. That psik reish lo nichale is muta. Oh, very nice. Psik reish lo nichale is muta. He gets no benefit from this hadas because he has what? He has another hadas. But listen to the next few words in Tosfos. Alma came into lo nichale lo chayish b'hai tikun v'shari. Listen to the words that Tosfos adds here. Lo chayish b'hai tikun. He's not interested in what? In this tikun. See, according to the Aruch Haner, what it means is he has another Oshat, and that's the Oshat that he uses. So the tikkun of the first Oshana that he took the berries off, what we call the second Oshana, whatever number you call it, is totally irrelevant. Is therefore, Tos says, Afagad the Psik Resha Hu. And even though it's a Psik Resha, you can't say it. You can't say that this is the Aruch, that this is the Aruch Hashem. There are two Aruchs here. Let me not confuse you. There's the Shitas Aruch. He was one of the Gaonim, and we talk about the Aruch Laner, who lived about 100 years ago, 150 years ago. Okay. What I'm saying is that Tosfos could not possibly be waving the flag of the Aruch Laner here, that it all depends on whether he uses the Oshata, because Tosfos says that this arrived to the Shitas Aruch of Sikrei Shalom Nicha. So he's obviously working, operating within the framework of Dov Hashem Miskaven. So when he says lo chayish b'hai tikkun, what it means is he gets no benefit from this tikkun. If he gets no benefit, then we can activate the principle of whom? Of the shitas aruch of psik reisha lo nichala. So therefore, afagav the psik reisha havi, even though it's a psik reisha. So now at this point, we have an open and shut raya for the shitas aruch. Oh. So now Tosfos quotes the Ri, and the Ri disagrees with the Aruch, and he holds that even in the case of Psik Reish Lo Nichale, it's still considered Psik Reish and it's awesome. The Raya Sa Aruch ain't a Raya. Well, now the Ri has to come back and defend himself against the proof from our Sugya, because Islay Oshat Achrita means he's not Chayish for this Tikkun Mana, therefore it's Lo Nichale, hence the Shita Sa Aruch. But the Ri disagrees with the Shita Sa'aruch. He says, ain't a Raya. Why is it not a Raya? He says, Hahi de Islay Oshat Achriti. He says, Pirush. The Gemara asks for Psik Resha. And the Gemara answers, to Isle Oshat Achriti, for hold the chain, since he has Oshat Achriti, Shari L'Rab Shimon, Deshema Lo Yitztarech Lo. I mean, this we didn't see anywhere. Deshema Lo Yitztarech Lo. That's nothing to do with the Shitas Aruch. There's nothing to do with Psik Reisha of Lo Nichale. Why is Rav Shim going to be mati when he has an Oshat Achrina? The Shema Lo Yitztarech Lo. V'nimtza Shalom Tiken Kli. Now wait a second. The good news, there's good news and bad news. The good news is, this sounds like the Shitas Ha'aruch HaShulch, Ha'aruch Laner, to be determined. Do you follow me? Because he says Shema lo yitztarech lo v'nitzel lo tikkun kli. So he's definitely operating within the framework of tikkun kli. Is this tikkun kli or is it not tikkun kli? So he doesn't need it because he has another oshana, and therefore that's not called tikkun kli. That sounds exactly like the Aruch, correct? That's the good news. I'm sorry. Yeah, the Aruch Laner. I apologize. I never realized that in this sugya we have two Aruchs. I'm getting... Okay, it's like the Aruch Laner. So that's the good news. But the bad news is, listen to his language. He says, Shema lo yitztarech lo. What does that mean, Shema lo yitztarech lo? According to the Aruch Laner, the language of the Tosfos is imprecise. What should Tosfos have said? Yeah, shalom. It came into law. It's tarach law. In other words, in past tense, not in future tense. You know, he's using the future contingency that maybe he won't use it. Oh, okay, maybe he won't use it, but maybe he will use it. According to the Aruch Haner, it's not a question of maybe he won't use it. He didn't use it because if at the end,
operative at the end of the day,
exactly at the end, if at the end of the day he uses it, then according to the Aruch Haner, he's in deep trouble. The Riyah is saying no, it's mutter. Why? Because Shem Elo Yitztarech Lo. I'll read it inside again. V'raya sa'oruch eino raya. Where is it? I had it a second ago. Oh, here it is. The Islay Oshatach Rita, the whole the Chain, Shari Lureb Shimon, the Shemalo Yitztarich Law, the Nimtse Shalot Tikein Kli. I don't get it. What is, the language of Tosfos is very difficult. Forget about the Aruch Haner, even without the Aruch Haner. He says, Shemalo Yitztarich Law.
It's predetermined that it's not Shemal Yitzharach. If he does use it, then it is also.
Yeah. So why does he say? Why is it? He says Shari L'Rav Shimon the Shemal Yitzharach.
Does it matter that he has insurance
until
all day
he does
long?
Use.
I mean, it's like an insurance policy for him.
I don't get it.
We don't need
Shemal Yitzharach. Okay. But what about Shema means perhaps, but if he at the end of the day does need it, so Nimtza Shetikin Kli, so how can Rav Shimon be Matir it? It doesn't say in the Re that Rav Shimon is Matir it only if he uses the other Oshata. He sounds like he's saying that since at the moment of time that he removes the berries, we can't predict one way or the other which of the two hadassim he's going to use, exhibit A or exhibit B. And that's enough to be matir, according to Rav Shimon, removing the berries, because the Shema lo yitztarech lo. But then he goes on and he says, v'nimtza shelo tikken kli. That if he doesn't use it at the end of the day, then it's not a tikken kli. That sounds like the Aruch Haner. But then what's the Shema lo yitztarech lo? Very difficult. Now, can somebody do me a favor here and open up Tosis and Shabbos? I'll tell you in just a second. I think it's Kufla Mites, but I just want to make sure. Kuf Gimel. Ah. Now I remember. Oh, it's in Perek Hakbonah. Okay, good. So let's put this Re in the Tosfos and Ksuvos on the side for a second. Let me borrow this in for just a minute. I'll be right back. Yeah. Oops. All right. So what's the case here on Kuf Gimel in Shabbos? So let's go over this. The Gemara says that when you remove weeds from a field, then it improves the field and it makes it roy lizria. It's now sowable, if there's such a word. Okay, plantable. Okay. So the Gemara says that what happens in a case where he's pulling out the weeds, but he's not at all interested in improving the field. He's only doing it because he needs the weeds as firewood. Okay? You and I might think that weeds have no purpose, but the Gemara says weeds have a purpose, and you could use it as fuel for your flame, for your fire. So Gemara says, therefore, he's not chayav for what's called moleches charisha. Charisha means any improvement in the ground that prepares the ground for productivity, that improves the productive potential of the ground. So the Gemara says, wait a second. You're telling me that he's not interested in improving the ground. That's called a Dovr She'eino Miskamen. But here it's Psik Reishis V'lo Yomus. Says, so Gemara gives two answers. One answer is that the case was it was located in an agam. An agam is kind of like a swampland, so it's not royal Israel. Then the Gemara gives another taste. Afilu teima b'sade delav agam kigon delo miskaven. But he's definitely improving the land, but he's not interested. He's not being miskaven. He wants to get the ulshin. Frankly, Gemara, again, we could have written the text for Rabbi Yamich Ravai. Mod Reb Shim Psikresh Lo Yomus. Lo Tzricha de Ka'avid de Ara de Chavri. So his friend gave him permission to take out the weeds and use it for his firewood. So his friend was very magnanimous because, you know, firewood is worth a couple of shekels. But on the other hand, his friend, who owns the field, he's the real beneficiary here because the other guy's doing the work and sweating and toiling in the heat of the sun, but now the owner of the field is the one who's gaining something. So basically, the one who's weeding the field, does he have any benefits whatsoever from the improvement of the karka? It's not his karka. He can't plant in this karka. So Tosis says that this is a raya for the Shitas Ha'aruch, that in a case of Psik Reishis, if it's lo nichale, which means he gets no benefit from it, is kevan de eino nene, therefore it's mutter, and that's the shita of the Aruch. And then Tosis goes into a whole discussion here about trying to prove the shita's Aruch from other sugyas, because Tosis says that this sugya would not necessarily prove the shita's Aruch. That has to do with Mitch's point from before about Malach Shem Tzikla Gufo, and I'm not going to get into that now. But Tosis says, Ubeperek Lulav HaGozel, but I have a proof from Lulav HaGozel. Gavi Ein Mematin B'yontif Mishum Rav Elazar Mishim and Omar Amru Mematin B'yontif Uparech V'Hakom Misakin Mono Mishani Kigon Shel Likton Lachila V'Dov Shein Miskavin Mutu Uparef Abayif Rav Namit Shavai Moder Rav Shimon V'Sikreish Lo Yom Musa Mishani Lo Tzvifa This Leo Shata Akrita Is Mashma Kapir Shor, that if he has another Oshata, he's not being nene from taking out the berries and being machshir the whatchamacallit, the Hoshana. The Alpha Gav the Psik Reishav, even though it's a Psik Reishav, nevertheless, since he has no vested interest, he gets no benefit from it, he has another Oshata, he doesn't need a second Oshata. Is therefore, we have a proof for the Arch Shita that if he has no interest, if he has no benefits from it, then Psik Reishav does not cancel out Dovr She'eino Miskaven. So this Tosfos seems to support the Aruch, whereas Tosfos here in Ksubis quotes the Aruch's Raya from the Gemara in Sukkah, and then it quotes the Ri that rejects that Raya and says that it's not Tikkun Mon. Why isn't it Tikkun Mon? Because he doesn't need it. If he doesn't need it, it's not Tikkun Mon. Again, the word Shema is problematic, because according to the Aruch Laner, he should bracket the word Shema. But here, Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos seems to accept the Shita Sa'aruch based on the sugya of Islei Hoshata Achrita. No. Filekel Amemers of Tosfos. And don't tell me, Kevan de Islei Hoshana Yeserta, since he has another Hoshana, Eino Metakin Klum. Exactly what the Aruch Laner said in Rashi, which we said in the Ri in Tosis and Ksuvis, is what Tosis in Shabbos is fighting against it. Don't tell me that it's not Tikkun Mona. You're going to have to operate with Dovr She'eino Miskaven and Psik Reishis Delo Nichole, like the Aruch. Why? Tim Ken, if you're going to tell me this is not Tikkun Mona, Amai Komer Hosam de Sovrala Kavua. Very interesting deal. The Gemara, there's family nepotism here. Why does the Gemara point out that Reb Shimon holds like his father, Reb Shimon, even if you didn't hold like Reb Shimon? even if you yell like Rabbi Yehuda that Dov Hashem is Kamin is Chayav, nevertheless it's the Mutter, because here it's not Tikkun Mana. Obviously it is considered Tikkun Mana. So it has nothing to do with the fact that it's a Dov Hashem is Kamin, according to the phantom, right, counter arguer of Tosus, right, has nothing to do with Dov Hashem is Kavod. It's merely based on the fact that it's not Tikkun Mana. So why does Gemara say that he's standing on the shoulders of his father about Dov Hashem is Kavod? So you see that the Gemara clearly is operating within the framework of Dov Hashem is Kavod, and that's the justification of Blazer Reb Shimon. And when the Gemara asks Psikreish, the Gemara slugs it up and says it's not a Psikreish. Why isn't it Psikreish? Because Isleo Shatach Riti. So don't tell me it's not Tikkun Mana. Well, Miri Yesh Lomer, the Oso Tikkun Muot, Kibot Mira Novim, is Lo Oser Elamir Abban. Then Tosis gives another mahalach over here that maybe this is not Tikkun Mana Doraisa, it's only Tikkun Mana Dorabanan, because it's only a small amount of Anovim, and the Rabbanan didn't make a gzera here because, I don't know why, for whatever reason. He says, Mishum Logozu Chachamim Kishe'edo Nene. I don't know, I think there's a mistake here in Tosis. Let's see if anyone points it out. Well, there's a Yud Aleph here, but I don't know where it's taking me. There's a Yud Aleph here. Let's see if it's relevant to us. I don't know. So again, let's just set up two. There are definitely two Rishonim here in our sugya. Two interpretations of our sugya. There's one Shita, which is explicit in the Re in Tosas and Ksubis, that the Gemara's Islay El Shatach Rita undermines the Malacha of Tikkun Mana. That's Tosis in the name of the Re in Masechta Ksubis. The other Mahalach is to say no. This is a Raya for the Shita Sa'aruch, that it's a Psikreshul O'Nichale, and it's impossible to maintain that the Gemara's Islay El Shatach Rita means it's not Tikkun Mana, because why didn't the Gemara pin it on Rav Shimon, Adov She'en Miskavin? So hence we have the Shitas Ha'oruch and the Rayas from our Sugya of Islay El Shatach Rita. Then you have the Aruch Laner, and the Aruch Laner says, you know what? There's no Meleches Makav Patish. There's no Tikkun Mana, and that's what Rashi means over here. And the reason there's no Tikkun Mana is because he never actually used the Hadas. He only used the other Hadas. That's the take of the Aruch Laner. Give me a minute. So now we have to ask our question here. This is very odd, this to be determined in the Aruch Laner, that we wait to see if he uses that Hadas. I would like to offer another possible approach. And I want to gain two things. And again, the stakes are high here. You'll be the jury, and you'll tell me what I say is correct. I want to gain that we don't have to go as far as the Aruch is concerned and say that whether or not there'll be Tikkun Mana depends upon whether he actually uses it. And the proof of the pudding is because the Re says Shema lo yitztarech lo. Second thing I want to gain is Rashi, if he's operating within the framework of Tikkun Mana and he's vacillating back and forth whether or not this is Tikkun Mana, as the Re says maybe he won't use it and then it's not Tikkun Mana, Yet Rashi keeps harping and harboring on Dov Hashem Miskavin, on Psik Reisha. So it sounds like a Min V'Sheino Mino, that Rashi is integrating two different elements here, and they don't combine. How does Rashi succeed in integrating? So you all know that there's a very important sefer called the Shari Yosher. Who authored the Shari Yosher? Rav Shimon Shkop. Okay. And Rav Shimon asked the following question. It's a very penetrating question. What does it mean, Moda Rav Shimon b'psik reisha v'lo yomos? The man is not miskaven. Rav Shimon holds that Dov Hashem miskaven is mutter. Why? Because you're lacking kavanah. He doesn't need it. He's not interested in it. That's not what motivates him. That's not his goal. No, if Rav Shimon holds that Dov Hashem miskaven is mutter, why not apply the same logic in the case of psik reisha? So you're going to tell me it's definite. So what? It's still, at the end of the day, a Dov Hashem miskaven. In other words, if Rav Shimon's shita stands on the svara of motivation, why is he motivated to do this action? Then the element of psik reisha is totally irrelevant to his motivation. He's not interested in X, in accomplishing that goal. Whether it's definite or it's uncertain is totally irrelevant. His motivation doesn't change one iota. If Rav Shimon is built on the fact that Dov Hashem miskaven is not a melacha, or in Shari Surah Torah, it's not an isur, the Torah only asks something when you want it, when you intend to do it. He didn't intend to do it. This was a, in Hebrew we call it a polyotza. You know, it was a result. It was a side benefit. But it's not a benefit for him. And if it's not a benefit for him, he's not miskaven. What difference does it make whether it's definite and predictable, or whether or not it's uncertain and questionable whether it'll result? That was Rav Shimon's kash. Does everybody hear that? I mean, that's a penetrating question. So Rav Shimon comes up with a whole new approach to yeah, it's the same thing's happening to me again, twice in a day. There are two Rav Shimons. There's Rav Shimon the Tana and Rav Shimon Shkop. Shkop Trump. So no, Rav Shimon Shkop. My father missed him by 1 year, because my father was too young to go into the shir, so they wouldn't let him in. My father was only 15, even though he's an Elul, but they didn't let him in. So his older buddy, who was the Rav in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Rav Silva, he got to go to Rav Shimon's shir because he was 1 year older than my father. Rav Shimon stayed in YU, I think, for either 8 or 9 months, and then the Gedolim called him back to Europe. I guess they weren't too happy about him, the teaching over there. Anyway, so Rav Shimon says no. That's the question of Dov Hashem miskaven. It's not about motivation. He says that the whole issue revolves around what he calls the Shem Hamas. Okay. If I'm moving benches, I'm dragging benches, and because of the weight of the benches, furrows are being dug, what's the Shem Hamas? That's Rav Shimon's question. How do you categorize, how do you label this action? Do you label it as Havaras Kisos, I'm just simply transporting chairs, or do you label it as Asiyas Harit? And it's a tremendous nafkamina, because there's no Isur on Shabbos of Havaras Kisos, this is only an Isur of Asiyas Harit, namely Melechus Korach. Says Rav Shimon, Here's where Dov Hashem is Kavin plays a role. Since you have two possibilities of defining the Maisa, so in objective terms, two different things are happening. The subjective element comes into the equation. And now, my Kavanah will determine what the Shem HaMasa is. Because the result that happens, which was not my Kavanah, that doesn't have the status, doesn't have the significance of a Maisa. Why? Because it happened. But it's not related to me. Again, if we had time, we could analyze this in a philosophical sense. It has very deep repercussions. But that's Reb Shimon. And here's where Reb Shimon explains Psik Reishis. When do you have the right to set up two Maisim and categorize it, name it under two different Maisim, and then decide, well, which is the Maisim that relates to him based on his Kavanah, which is a Mamela, happens somewhere like the tree that falls in a forest and there's no one there to hear it. That's only if there's no Psik Reishis. If there's no Psik Reishis, then we could separate what you're doing into two. We could split it into two Maisim, and each Maisim has its own Shem, and then we could start determining which one of the Shem Maisim that you have, the two candidates, relates to him. And it's Nikral Shmo. But if you cannot separate the Maisim into two, because it's only one indivisible Masa, then even Reb Shimon would agree that you're chayav, despite the fact that you're in a miskaven. See, again, in our original premise, that miskaven or in a miskaven is all a matter of motivation, what's he interested in, what's he going to get, benefits from it. So then we have Akasha. So what if it's a psik reisha? He's still no more interested in the result just because it's a psik reisha. But now we're going to say no. You have no right to say you're not miskaven. What do you mean you're not miskaven? Who cares whether you're miskaven or not? You went in, you did the Maisa, you did the Malachi, you did the Avera. You're chayv for that. Even Reb Shimon agrees to that. Reb Shimon Tan. Reb Shimon's chiddush is that a Dov Hashem miskaven allows me to relate one Maisa to him and not the other Maisa. I sort of sever the relationship between that Maisa, we'll call it Maisa B, and him and the person. But that's only if there's no psik reisha, because then you could say he's doing two different maisim. But to cut off the head of a chicken and say he's not killing the chicken, that's not possible. You can't say that when he decapitates the chicken, he's not killing the chicken. That is killing the chicken. So for example, if you drag very, very heavy benches over very light or soft ground, then that is one Maisa of Asiyas Charitzim. I can't separate it into two Maisim. And therefore, what are you going to tell me? But he's not Miskaven, he has no benefit, he's not planting. It's irrelevant whether he's planting or not. It becomes a Dover Miskaven. So that's Rav Shimon's understanding of Dover Shein Miskaven. So now, let's see how Rav Shimon might possibly apply to our sugi. He's taking off berries. That's called the Tilas Anovim. We'll give it a name. Why not? Like Havaris Kisos, this is the Tilas Anovim. Is it the Tilas Anovim or is it Hechsher Anovim? I'm sorry, Hadassim, I meant to say. Sorry. Right? So we could say...
But it depends upon how many he takes off?
But no. I'm saying he's taking off a bunch of berries. Right? But now I want to know, how does the halacha define his action? And according to Reb Shimon Shkab, the possibility of applying Dov Hashem Miskaven is if we can define the action on the two different categories. On the one end, he's doing an Atilas berries, right? He's taking off the Anovim. On the other hand, he's being makshir the Hadas. And here's where the Gemara wants to plug in Reb Shimon Dov Hashem Miskaven. That since he's only interested in eating the Anovim, we could define this action as what? As the Tilas Anovim. As a result, There's Hesher Hadas, which is a problem of Tikkun Mana. The answer is that happened. That happens. Memelech, like the tree that fell in the forest. Well, I didn't have kavanah for it, so therefore you have no right to relate that maisa to, because my maisa was the dealer's anavim, because I'm just interested in the anavim, I want to eat the anavim. So the Gemara answers, but Moder Reb Shimon b'Psik Reisha, taking off the anavim is not a new maisa it's not a mice of Netilas Anovim, it's a mice of Hesher Hadas, because there's no way, that given the fact that there's a Ribri Anovim, there's no way that this Hadas could be transformed into Hadas Kosher unless you remove the Anovim. And say it the other way around also, there's no way of removing the Anovim, again, the majority of the Anovim, without being Machshel Hadas. So therefore, Netilas Anovim is like secretion, it's like cutting off the head of a chicken. Mm-hmm. And there's only one mice, you're doing a mice of Heksher. Oh. Comes along the Re, and he says, the Israel Shatachina Shema lo Yitztarech lo. The Re says that in this case, it's not a psik resha. Why? Because he might not need the Hadas. Again, according to the Re, as opposed to the Aruch Laner, it doesn't depend upon whether he uses the Hadas or he doesn't use the Hadas. We want to go back to define the Maisa. What is this? Can I define it as the Tilas Anovim? You know, I'm very naive. All I see here is the Tilas Anovim. You know, I hear no evil, I do know, I see no evil. And the answer is, says the Gemara, that since there's a possibility that he won't need this Hadas, therefore, I can say that he's not being machshed adas. In other words, Rashi now needs to integrate two different svaras. Rashi is on the one hand operating with tikkun mana, but on the other hand, he's operating within the framework of psik resha. He's saying the following: when you cut off the head of the chicken, that's called netilas neshama. You can't define it by any other name. Don't tell me you're removing the head of a chicken. No, you're taking the neshama of the chicken, because the neshama is totally in the head. We have never seen a chicken survive without a head. I mean, maybe for a few seconds, if that's Pirkus, but that's about it. But we may be able to see a case where the Hadas does not gain the status of Hadas Shel Mitzvah, even though you took off the Anomen, because Shem Eloi Yitztarech Lo. And the Shem Eloi Yitztarech Lo is enough to remove Psik Reisha, says Rashi. Why? Because the Tikkun Mana of Hechsher Hadas depends upon whether he's going to use it or not. No, so the Aruch Laner went too far here. He took a step further and he says, well, let's see whether he uses it or not. To be determined. Nay, we're not going to go with the Aruch Laner. We're going to establish the following, that Rashi's operating within the framework of Dovah Shenga Miskavet. And even though he's doing a Tikkun Mana, and even though it's absolutely predictable that he's doing a Tikkun Mana, but the answer is, Tikkun Mana is a Hechsher Hadas L'mitzvah, so, and he may not even need it L'mitzvah. So why? Because Islay Hoshat Achrita. Oh, if it's Islay Hoshat Achrita, then the Maisa that he's doing is a Maisa Netilas Anovim. And why? Because what is he interested in? In Netilas Anovim. Oh, you'll say it's a secretion. It's a Shemeloid Starflow. And if it's a Shemeloid Starflow, then if at the end of the day he doesn't need it, then it's not a Tikkun Mana. But we're not going with the Aruch Laner and saying, well, whether it's a Tikkun Mana or not will depend upon whether he uses it or not. We're going to establish that this is a Dovah Shenga Miskavet from the get-go, because Shema Lo Yitztarech Lo. The possibility that he won't use it is itself enough to undermine the Psik Reisha and say that we can separate the two Maisa. There's one Maisa called the Tilas Anovim. There's another Maisa called Hechsher Hadas. And is this a Hechsher Hadas? So again, Rabbi Osei, I just want to make it clear. I'm borrowing one item from the Aruch Laner, but again, I don't need the Aruch Laner. I already have the Re Balatosis. The Re Balatosis says that from this Sugya Vislei El Shatachri, you have no proof to the Aruch. This is not Psikreshul or Michle. Says the Re, why not? I mean, after all, the Chorah, as Tosis presents it here in the Sef, the Shabbos Kuf Gimel, it's Psikreshul or Michle. No! Forget about the Aruch. There's a whole other consideration here. Now, what is the Re saying? The Re is saying that the Tikkun Mana depends upon whether it's Tarech Lo or Lo Yitztarech Lo. That's the Tikkun Mana. In other words, it becomes a hadashal mitzvah in this case because he uses it for the mitzvah. No? Okay. But maybe at the end of the day he will use it for the mitzvah. So that's what drives the Arch Lander crazy. And he says, well, let's just check it out and let's see whether he uses it or not at the end. And the Gemara's heter here is only conditional on the fact that he doesn't use it. We've got to warn him, says the Arch Lander, don't you dare use this adat. Because then you're going to, Yiglai Milsim Afreya, that it's what? That it's Tikkun Mana. The Ri doesn't say that. The Ri says that whether or not it's Tikkun Mana depends upon Shemelo Yitztarech Lo. And if it's Shemelo Yitztarech Lo, Lo Avi Tikkun Mana. So the Ri already has the breakthrough, the revolution of the Arch Lander, but he says, nevertheless, we could be Mater here, even if at the end of the day he does decide to use the Hadas, 50-50, he's got two Hadasim in front of him. Nevertheless, it's mutter. How can it be mutter? If at the end of the day he used the hadas, then Igloy Milsim afraid that this was a tikkun mana. It was a hechsher mitzvah. The answer is domeshenim iskaven. I'll ask you if it's domeshenim iskaven. There is a psik ratio. The answer is there's no psik ratio. Why? Because shemelo yitztarech lo. And the shemelo yitztarech lo means that we don't know, it's undetermined whether or not it's a hechsher mitzvah, so whether it's tikkun mana. Oh, if we don't know, then you can't define it as one maisa, because Rav Shimon Shkab says that psik ratio means we collapse the two maisa into one.
Is this still contingent on the original differentiation between killing the Tilos and Shambo, which is intrinsic, whereas Tikkun Mana is only because of Makaba partition, then you have your leave?
Well, again, I don't know if it's because of Makaba partition, maybe because.
So that was, I'm just asking.
Maybe because of Heksher Mitzvah. Heksher Mitzvah, meaning it could be
which
that.
Which itself is not a shame of
it could be that if this is a hammer, and I bang it on the anvil, is that what's called the anvil? And I sharpen it. That's a malacha doras. There's no asra sofik here. Will you use the hammer or won't you use that? He bangs it and then he throws the hammer into the Yama Melach. He's chai.
Of course, that's called intrinsically repaired.
Correct.
Whereas the hadas
is only repaired. Yeah, it's only repaired as a heksher mitzvah. So did he use it for a mitzvah or not? So you and I might have said, and that's probably Shitas HaTosfos, that the fact that it's royal in mitzvah, that itself is the Tikkun Mana. But the Ri doesn't say that. The Ri says, will he need it or does he not need it? So that according to the Ri, it's a shame mitzvah. Now when does the shame mitzvah emerge in this Hadas? We put Hasmona Lab Milsahi, right? There's no such thing as Hasmona. You know, the fact that I point to this Hadas and I say, oh, Hini Much, this Hadas is going to be designated for a mitzvah. That doesn't make it into a Hadashal Mitzvah. Whether it's Hadashal Mitzvah depends on when he uses it or not. No, so comes along the Arch Lander and he says, well, let's see, did he use it or not? The Gemara doesn't seem to say that. But the Arch Lander wants to push this into Rashi, that Rashi's saying the whole Heter is conditional on the fact that he didn't use it at the end of the day. Maybe it's Iker Chasim and HaSefer. The Gemara doesn't say, let's see and decide at the end of the day whether he uses it. So I point out to you that the language of the Ri, on the one hand, is very similar to the Arch Lander, in the sense that whether or not it's Tikkun Mana, says the Ri, depends upon whether or not he needs it or not, and he'll use it or not. But he says, Shemelo Yitztarech Lo. Meaning, on the tzad that he won't need it, it's not Tikkun Mana. No, but I don't get it. At the end of the day, he did use that hadas. He went hini mini mini mo, and it landed on that hadas from which he removed the anovin. So how can we allow that to go on? It's a tikkun mana. The answer is it's not a psikration. That what we're talking about is not the aruch that it's a psikration lo michale, but it's not a psikration. We don't know for sure that he's going to violate tikkun mana. So whether or not he's going to violate tikkun mana is up in the air. So let's wait and see the results on the ground. Right, Bashetach, as we say in the army, right? No! Shemelo Yitztarech. What do you gain by Shemelo Yitztarech? Maybe call it a Safek? Safek Doraisa? How can we allow him to do it? Maybe at the end of the day, Ini, Mini, 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 I'll take the wrong Hadas, meaning the right Hadas, the one that he took the Anov out of. The answer is that in Hilchas Psik Resha, once the possibility exists that the Malach will not be achieved, then it's no longer Psik Resha. And that's what Rashi means. In the case of the Tilos and Shama, once you cut off the head of the chicken, there's no question about it. And we cannot redefine this Maisa as Haramas Harosh. You know, he's lifting off the head. No, it's the Tilos and Shama. You can't fool anybody. But in the case of Tikkun Mana, Shemelo Yitztarech Lo, maybe he won't use it.
And that's only because it's halachic rather than like a hammer.
Yeah. No, exactly.
It's a hammer, whether you use it or not, is called intrinsically fixed.
Right, so physical
halachically
change.
Halachically is not called intrinsic because it's only conceptual.
Conceptual and
halachic.
And the conceptual is that it's a shem mitzvah, that the shem mitzvah is being chal on this hadas. And that's chal with the kiyum mitzvah. Right? So again, if this chat in Rashi is correct, again, there are a lot of benefits, but I have to admit, there's one word that's missing in Rashi that we're going to have to push into Rashi. I'm not happy about that. Don't misunderstand me. But we're going to have to read the Rashi like this. Lo tzricha de isle al shat achrita, and therefore what? Maybe lo yitztarech lahai. In other words, I'm taking the Riz Shema and I'm putting it into Rashi. But again, why do I have a little bit more leeway to do that in Rashi? Because Rashi always attaches himself to the Dibra Maskil, to the quote of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Lo tzricha de isle al shat achrita. Now what does that mean, de isle al shat achrita? Could be one of two things. It could mean that he doesn't use this oshata, or it means he doesn't need his oshata, meaning he doesn't need to use it. Do you follow what I'm saying? Well, so when Rashi says lo tzarchlai, it means lo tzarch l'shtamish b'hai. I think that's a fair addition, that he's not dependent upon this, the use of this hadas. That's what he means by lo tzarch l'hai. But again, Rabbi Osai, those three words in Rashi, lo tzarchlai, have nothing to do with davar she'eino b'hiskamin. That has to do with whether it's tikkun mana or not. And the proof is, because look at the next few words in Rashi, hilkach ein kan tikkun kli, meaning if he doesn't need it, then it's not tikkun kli. He might use it, that's a capricious decision. You know, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, he might at the end of the day use it. But he doesn't need it. If he doesn't need it, then is it considered a hadashal mitzvah? Well, we'll find out later on. But right now he doesn't need it as a hadashal mitzvah. And if he doesn't need it as a hadashal mitzvah, is Rashi says you can't say there's a psik ratio. You can't define this action as hechsher hadas. Because hechsher hadas means le mitzvah so, and shevelo yitztarech lo. And therefore Rashi says, lo dami hashto le psik ratio. Now, why does Rashi wake up with psik ratio? We already, psik ratio is ancient history. We dropped the ball on psik ratio. We're on a different track over here. We're talking about tikkun mana. Is it tikkun mana? Is it not tikkun mana? If Rashi just established it's not tikkun mana, the answer is it may turn out to be tikkun mana. So then Rashi has a problem. He says, how can you be mati doing something that might be a tikkun mana? Call it a suffix malacha doraisa. The answer is it's not a psik ratio. Since the malacha might not reach fruition, therefore you can't call it a psik ratio. And I would only have the chutzpah to say that in the light of Rav Shimon Shkop's breakthrough, that Rav Shimon Shkop insists that what you want to do is collapse two actions into one. That's the goal of psik ratio. I cannot collapse the two actions into one if at the end of the day it's quite possible that the second action will never materialize and the tikkun mana will never take place. And he says, lo dami, it's not similar, says Rashi, to the case of secretia, the hasav, in the case of secretia, ikar detilas neshama mimanafsha. No matter what you do, whether you need it or not, you are taking the neshama. We don't have any case of Ripley's, believe it or not, of a chicken that lives without a head. Is memela, call it detilas neshama, don't call it lekichas harosh, and there are no two shemas here. But hacha, but here, this is not a definite tikkun mana. He may need it, he may not need it. Again, we'll find out later on. But Shema lo yitztarech lo. And if lo yitztarech lo, because he has achrit, he has another one, so there's a good chance, 50% chance that he won't use this one, then it turns out that it wasn't tikkun mana. Now, again, we're not dealing with what's called a suffix integration. You know, there's a famous taz about suffix integration. You know, you close a window, you don't know if there's a fly that's going to get caught in the window. And that's Malechas Seido, Tzad. So that even though he has no kavana to trap flies, but it's a psik ratio. No, but it's not a psik ratio, maybe there are no flies there. But if there are flies there, I mean, God knows in heaven if there are flies there, is then it's a psik ratio. So the Taz has this whole chiddush about suffic psik ratio that's not a psik ratio. And again, it could be that the Taz also might be along the line of Rav Shimon Shkop. Maybe since I don't know whether this action, it's not, I don't know, in Rav Shimon it's hard. It's hard to put the Taz
Does Rav Shimon give any other examples?
Yeah, Rav Shimon holds the following, that in the case of what was the case? Not Mesuchraya, then is Zaisa. Oh, yeah. I think Rav Shimon comes to the conclusion that you remember the case of Mila Vitzaras. You know, if he has Baharis in the Makom Mila, so on the one hand, he's fulfilling and he's interested in the mitzvah Mila, but at the other hand, he's being mitire him through a surgical operation, which you're not allowed to do. That's a lav da'oraisa. It's called Ktsitsas Baharis. You have to go to the Kohen. You got to do it the right way. You know, we could circumvent the Kohen through surgical operation. No, we're not allowed to do that. So Rav Shimon says that here, the concept of psikreisha is totally different. Why? Because he says that, he proves that Ktsitsas Baharis is a different mice entirely. It's a maisa of hitarus. And when he does the mila, he's not involved in a maisa hitarus. He's involved in a maisa mila. In other words, basically Rav Shimon wants to say that in certain cases, the difference between one maisa and the other is so radical, is so fundamental, that Rav Shimon's darshenus comment is always going to apply by definition. Because again, The whole purpose of Rav Shimon's Dovah Shem Miskavit is to Lahalbish, is to take this case with the two Maisim, and then the Kavana is going to determine which Maisim belongs to him. And Rav Shimon has a whole piece of Torah in which he says that cutting Mila for the sake of the Mitzvah Mila and cutting Mila for the sake of Hitarus are two different actions by definition. So it's going to be very interesting. Whenever the second action is halachic, then Rav Shimon is going to always ask the following question. Is that second action somewhat different? If he could find one iota of a difference between the two, like for example, in Mila, there's something called tzitzin. Right? Now, in Baharis, there's no din of tzitzin. And in Mila, at least L'chadchila, again, the problem is that in the end, you could be yotzei the mitzvah Mila without removing the tzitzin. But let's say L'chadchila, if all things are perfect, you have to remove the tzitzin. That might set up the mitzvah Mila as inherently a different maisa than Ktsitsas Baharis. Because Ktsitsas Baharis, as far as Baharis is concerned, it only relates to the Baharis and not to what? And not to the tzitzin. Okay, Rav Osai, we'll stop here. Tomorrow, I'd like to do the sugya of dichu. Dichu. Dichu means that when he removes the berries, then l'chora going into yantif, this hadas was dachu, it was possible. And the question is whether or not he can be machshir the hadas by removing the berries. And that has nothing to do with Malach HaShabbos or Malach HaYantif. It has to do with the concept of dichu.
Next Monday,
sure.
Yeah, we'll finish up on Monday. Tuesday is when the Erev Yom Kippur. And then if you could, I know, Rabosa, did you get the email? I don't have everyone's email address. Lenny, could you get my email?
The last
if you could give me your email address, I would like to add it because.